Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Global Speaker Series Soul Speak. It's me again, your host, Sheldon Pisnat. Thank you for being here. And in this masterclass session, we're speaking with Crystalia Marie about energy healing, self-love, wealth and prosperity, opening to receive, and so much more. There's going to be a lot in this jam-packed session. And before we jump in, which we will because we have a limited time, and there's a lot to talk about and a process, an experiential process to go through, so a wonderful healing experiential process. Let me share a little bit about Crystalia. Crystalia began her self-healing journey in her mid-20s, yet her real healing began in 2000 when, after years of working on self-worth and self-love issues, she discovered an underlying belief that had kept her from loving herself fully. So what happened, roughly, is in 2001, her faith and self-love were tested when she discovered a golf ball-sized lump in her breast. After doing all that she knew and trying many alternative healing methods, she was guided to create crystal graphs, which are symbols or colored drawings, and we'll get to these during the session. And during one brief session, these crystal graphs removed the lump, a golf ball-sized lump. So, clearly she knew she was onto something here, and subsequently she had various ailments after this, like bladder infection, yeast infection, hypothyroidism, deep vein thrombosis, cancer, and more. And in each case, she immediately received symbols, like a download for these crystal graphs to heal each ailment. So, what she does now is she helps thousands of people worldwide find and heal the underlying cause that has kept them from healing themselves. Crystalia is also the director of Inner Peace for 10 Million Clicks for Peace, a best-selling co-author with Deepak Chopra, Mark Victor Hansen, and Wayne Dyer in the Wake Up book series, and author of the 1 Minute Energy Tune-Up series of books and products, as well as a former popular radio talk show host on energy healing for body, mind, and spirit. So there we are. There's the background. Let's jump into the session. Crystalia, hello, 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 and welcome. I'm really excited to get into this.
I'm really excited to be here, Sheldon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I love the sessions where we have experiential processes, so I'm really looking forward to that. Let's start with some of your background. You call yourself a self-love enthusiast, which I love because I'm one as well. Why do you think it is so important for our listeners to learn to love themselves?
Well, actually, to me, it is the key to any kind of success in our lives. And I'm not talking about the ego type of self-love. I'm talking about loving ourselves without judgment, without criticism, without all of that junk, and just honoring who we are. And when we do that, what I find when I'm working with people, as well as what I found for myself, is that things flow nice and easily. And when we're not taking care of ourselves, that's when we get stressed out. That's when we have all kinds of challenges in our lives because we aren't taking care of ourselves. And self-love is the key to that, to know that you are the perfect being that God or spirit, whatever word you want to use, put on this planet for a purpose, and to honor that purpose and love yourself fully.
Yeah, so it sounds like the way you describe what I hear, it's a noun as well as a verb. Like self-love is a consciousness as well as actions. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. It's both. Because if we are not actively giving ourselves love and taking care of our needs, then we are not actively loving ourselves. And I like to use the example of the moms that are listening, but it happens to all of us. When we think we have to do everything for everybody else before we do anything for ourselves. And in my instance, my mother at one point collapsed and ended up in the hospital. And I remember her telling us as kids, I never get a break unless I get sick. Well, how did that help any of us kids in the long run? Because now mom wasn't there. And so taking care of ourselves just from that perspective is so critical to really being fully present in the world. If that makes sense to you.
Absolutely. Of course, it makes tremendous sense. I really resonate with that. It is, for me as well.
Yeah.
It was a game changer, a life changer, the introduction of self-love, and it still is a lifelong journey for me, cultivating, conditioning, and strengthening a consciousness without right or wrong, without judgment.
Right, and that's really the key, is no right or wrong, no judgment, just honoring who we are. And even, like, so often I find people start beating themselves up, oh, I should have done this, or, you know, you did exactly what you needed to do at that time with the best of your, to the best of your ability, and to honor that, maybe laugh at it a little, because I like to laugh a lot, too, you know, without laughing at myself, but laughing at how I put myself in such a funny predicament that this is what I created, you know. And what can I learn from that, and to try to make it that kind of a journey instead of the beating self up all the time.
Boy, that takes a lot of consciousness is what's coming forward for me right now. Not to diminish yourself in any way by laughing at yourself, but just to understand how the subconscious works and how sometimes we make these really interesting creative choices and creations to really cope at the time, and how later we go, oh my gosh, isn't that interesting how I created that association or that identification or that definition of reality.
Right, and sometimes it takes a while to get to that point of recognizing that, and, you know, there's a journey in there too, and I've gotten better and better over the years, and still I find myself getting upset sometimes, like the day I fell off a ladder last year and laid on the ground for a few minutes saying, this was not a great choice. So, you know, it's not like anyone is perfect here. It's a question of loving yourself enough to honor that it's not that big a deal, each thing. And we did the best we knew how to do at the time, and loving ourselves through that.
You know, you can you share a little bit of your background with our listeners, a bit of your story, and what perhaps was your greatest life lesson to date?
Well, actually, my greatest life lesson was self-love. And literally, I ended up in a situation where my first husband was somewhat abusive. I left him because I didn't like the – it was mostly verbal. There were a couple physical things happened, and I'm like, this isn't cool. I left that relationship and ended up in a relationship in which this guy literally beat me up and stabbed me with a kitchen knife.
My God.
That really was my real awakening to I needed to change my life and start to love myself and not allow myself to be in situations that I knew weren't healthy. Because when I looked at it, it was obviously it wasn't healthy. And so that put me on that journey of the whole self-love we've been talking about, and it has been a long journey. And the biggest key to really switching it for me was learning what my core underlying belief was that was keeping me from loving myself. And for me, that belief was that God was going to punish me for loving myself. And once I learned that and learned how to start working on changing that belief, then things really started to change dramatically. But that's pretty much, you know, that's kind of what happened and how I really had to really switch things. But, you know, when I first learned to build my self-esteem and do some of this work, I was working with a therapist for many years, and things got better, but I found myself working at one point, I was working with a company I billed. I was a consultant. This isn't what I worked. This is what I was billable hours was 110 hours in 1 week. The company gave me an award for that. It seems insane when I think about it now that I thought this was cool. The following month, I did something that they fired me for. They asked me to do something illegal, and I refused. So...
wow.
You know, so self-love has been really the key for me across the board, and I really believe it is for everyone. I think most of us are taught not to really love ourselves and not to think we're worthy in one way or another.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How, you know, let's talk a little bit about how people are, how they get those implants, and, you know, maybe you can share some thoughts about the differences between self-love, selfishness, and self-centeredness, and so forth.
Sure. So how do we get to these beliefs? I think the primary thing is that we listen to those people we put in the position of authority, our parents being the first, of course, and other people, and we take on a lot of their beliefs. So that's the first thing. And we hear things over and over and over, and, you know, we just take it as the truth a lot of times. And then the other piece is things will happen in our lives that we make a decision as to what it means to us. So as an example, you and your sibling can be in the same room. Your parent could walk in and yell at both of you for the same thing because you're doing something together. And one of you thinks you're a horrible child and, you know, just takes that internally, and each incident later just builds on that, and we begin to believe we're not worthy. The other one might decide the exact opposite, like, I'm going to show you I am, and be out of balance just as badly the other side, okay, and go through that mode of, I'm going to prove you wrong, and be just as bad, off balance, the opposite direction. But it really comes down to our perception of what we hear and how we internalize that. And it comes, you know, our church leaders, our teachers, our parents, all of them influence us. And most of those people are not even consciously aware of what they're saying to us that could cause problems. And their intention isn't to do bad to people, to the kids. That's not the intention. It's just that they're not consciously aware. It's not like we ever come in with training to be a parent. So anyway, and then you ask about the difference between self-love
selfishness or self-centeredness.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I actually think selfishness is good. If you define it in my terms, so I'll define that in a moment, where self-centered, the way I see self-centered is you're so focused on yourself, you don't care about anyone else, you don't care about anybody else's input, and so on. Selfishness, or self-love, for me, and again, it's my definition, comes down to taking care of oneself, but not making yourself so centered on yourself that nothing else matters. So you're able to negotiate in the world and find ways to work within the parameters. So I like, this example came from a book I read years ago called, I think it was called The Art of Selfishness. And it is the idea that you have a spouse, as an example, and you really don't like their family, and every time you go to their family outings and stuff, you end up in an argument with one of your spouse's relatives. And so you kind of learn that it might be, you might have a better way to approach this, so you decide the next time there's an event to say to your spouse, you know, I always get into an argument with them, and I really want you to enjoy being with your family, but we always end up in a fight on our way home. Does it sound familiar? you know. And so instead you say, why don't you go enjoy being with your family? I'll go do what I want to do. I'd love to go out and hike that day. And at the end of the day, we'll come back. We'll share stories about how our day went and have a nice evening together. And engage the partner to discuss it. In other words, don't make it all about you, but about both of you, because aren't they going to be more comfortable as well if they don't have to put up with you having gotten into a fight with one of your family members?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by being selfish or loving yourself enough to ask and create an experience that can be better and different without being so self-centered. You say, I'm not going to that. I don't care what you want to do. You know, there's that way of being so self-centered. You don't even care about them and you don't have a conversation. So does that kind of answer your question? Do you kind of see what I'm saying?
It does. Yeah, thank you. And I have a follow-up question. That is there a few simple tips or tools that you could advise our listeners on how right now they can build a greater sense of self-esteem, self-worth, and self-love?
Well, there is. The first thing I recommend, and we're going to walk through this in the experiential exercise a little later, is first open and balance your chakras, your energy centers, and get the energy flowing. Because what happens when we change beliefs, you know, when we decided we were bad or whatever, is we gradually block these different energy centers based on various emotions and what beliefs we take on. So let me give you an example. If you feel that your parents never supported anything you want to do, you are likely to have shut down your root chakra, which is at the base of your spine, and that's all about support. So if that area is blocked, what happens is you start creating health challenges as well as start experiencing less and less people supporting you, and you might start having financial problems because you don't even believe you can support yourself after a while. So if we get the energy flowing in the body so all the energy centers are working together, that is really helps the whole process, okay?
And so can I jump in here? Can
sure.
I jump in for a sec? Okay, great. So our energy, our chi, our ki, whatever we want to call it, our energy centers, our chakras, and our energy, it flows. It's flowing. And when we come in with, let's say, some decision and judgment, we can literally block that energy from flowing not only around our physical body, our energy field, but even inhibit one of our energy centers as well. Is that accurate?
Absolutely accurate. And so when we can get the flow going, it's like having... Okay, I grew up in the Motor City. What can I say? I like cars. So it's like missing a spark plug in the engine, okay? The energy has to hop past and may not even start the car if you're missing a spark plug or if you've got one misfiring, okay? That's what happens when we have a block in our energy field. It has to work harder, and eventually we start out probably having some success issues and stuff like that. Eventually it comes down to health challenges. So people with a blocked root chakra, I talked about support, but eventually you might start having problems with your legs, knees, feet, back, all of that as well, lower back in particular, just by having a block in that center. And it all comes down to beliefs that we've created about ourselves. So that's the first thing, the first step I recommend is get the energy flowing. And when you experience that chakra opening symbol that or crystagraph that we have a bit later in the call, that happens in 20 seconds.
Wow. So that's one of the tools you actually have for that step is crystagraphs to open and bring and get our energy moving and flowing harmoniously and back to vital health. Is that right?
That's right. Now, granted, if you don't do anything else, it'll get shut back down until you start to deal with the issues. But that's the first thing.
Can I jump in with another question?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. So do you, in your experience, do you find that it's necessary for people, and perhaps my own answer to this question is it's just some of the time, but I'm curious about your perception, your experience. How necessary is it, and how does this work? Do people need to become conscious of their creations from the past, their decisions, their definitions of reality, and or is, let's take crystagraphs, for example, is that tool or hands-on healing or energy healing of any kind where they don't even need to be aware of what they created in the past. And, you know, do you know what I'm trying to say here? Do you know what I'm trying to ask?
So okay, I think some awareness is necessary, and in some cases it's not. So being aware, for example, that I have a self-esteem issue because I just billed 110 billable hours for a company in a week, you know, doesn't mean I need to know what caused me to have that self-esteem issue. Now, it may be necessary if you find that doing affirmations and doing some of the healing work isn't taking you far enough because you're still repeating the pattern, that you may have to look for deeper understanding of why you have self-esteem issues. But I find that if you can at least get to the underlying core belief of what causes you to believe you're not worthy, and you do some exercises I'll share a bit later on how to move forward from that point, then I think that's all you need. So I don't think you need, in most cases, to know what the exact event was, but there's going to be situations that you may need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
it comes down to how far are you moving on that dial, and how much further do you want to go. And I think for a lot of people, they don't need to know any of that. And in some cases, we do. So, sorry, I don't have a clear, it's always one way or the other. I think we're all different.
Yes, I know. That's what I was getting inside, too. I was just curious from your work with people. I'm always loving to hear other thought leaders and teachers and healers experience with their process and just their experience. So thanks for sharing yours. And I kind of jumped in on you. I think you were up to the second tip that you had for building self-esteem and self-worth and self-love.
The second tip is really getting to what the core belief is when necessary. And in a lot of cases, it becomes necessary. And so that means finding what is it that's triggered you to the point, at least knowing what the belief is that triggered you to the point that all the affirmations you're doing aren't necessarily working because you feel like you're doing them the right way, you really are aware, you're trying to consciously live, and yet it's still not working, and to find that underlying core belief. And that typically, here's my example. For me, I did self-love and self-worth work for years, 13 years of talk therapy, and then I left that and did a lot more things, and yet I still worked that 110 hours long after I was doing all of this work. And working with a teacher one time, I discovered that I had a belief that God was going to punish me if I loved myself. It came from my religious upbringing. I'm not saying that the church I went to told me that. It's what my perception of whatever was said was.
Right.
And so imagine saying, I love myself, all is well, and all of these affirmations in your subconscious is saying, really? You really want God to punish you? So that's what I mean by finding if there is a core belief that's not letting you move forward as far as you want to.
And is that what you find with affirmations, why they don't work for a lot of people? Is they're just not really connecting to the deeper layer?
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes they work great, and then there's these situations where we have an underlying core belief that's just going to keep us stuck if we don't address it. And there are even steps, like sometimes instead of doing an affirmation that is the final goal, is to actually say, I desire, I deserve, I'm able to, and then I am. And sometimes that helps, too, to just have that little bridging from where we are forward. So in the God's going to punish me example, I actually did affirmations such as, I desire God's love when I love myself. I deserve God's love when I love myself. I'm able to receive God's love. And then I said, God loves me when I love myself. And then my other affirmations literally changed my entire life within weeks of doing them on a regular basis.
So that was after you were able to become aware of this really deep layer or core belief that once you did become aware, you were able to use your conscious mind to reprogram. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Yeah, because our subconscious mind can have all kinds of stuff in there that we're not aware of, and that's the challenge with affirmation. We need to know, sometimes we need to know what that is in order to get past it, if it's something especially so opposing to the affirmation we're saying.
Mm-hmm. It's like an energetic reverse magnet that's just reflecting what we're this energy pattern we're trying to instill or implant through an affirmation, in my experience.
I like that. That was a great way to say that.
It just came in.
What was that, an energy magnet?
I wish I could. Yes, like a polarity. It's like an opposing polarity, energetically speaking, that acts like an effect of a reverse magnet. So instead of magnetizing towards, pushing back against, and it's just almost like a mirror, just reflecting that, because we're consciously instilling a new energy pattern or any kind of energy pattern with an affirmation. We're firming up our energy system, right, as you know, and so it just reflects it back out, just bounces right back off, rebound. And then it's through that wonderful awareness you talked about that we're able to dismantle that core belief just by becoming aware of it is the first step.
A client that was, I wasn't aware at the time because we were doing phone call things and we weren't working on weight loss, but we were working on her self-love issues. And I finally recommended this process I teach for how to get to the core belief because things weren't shifting. And so she did, and she wrote me and said, oh, I can't believe the ugly things I believe about myself. And she had like 3 pages of them. Well, here was the cool part. Once she did that, she dropped 5 pant sizes in 7 weeks.
Wow.
Now,
I believe it.
She didn't actually lose any weight. It actually shifted to other areas of the body that were blocked as well. So then we started working on that, and then she did start losing weight. But she literally lost 5 pant sizes, and that area is nourishing yourself. If you look at the waist area and that area, that's all about nourishment of yourself and you're feeling nourished in your life. So I thought that was fascinating. I thought I'd share that because that's really what happened. She couldn't get past it. And then when we shifted that and she got those core pieces, everything shifted.
It is fascinating. I mean, it's just that this work, our energy systems, we are just fascinating what we create. And it's an amazing journey to just of discovery. It's very fun.
It is, I like how you said it's fascinating what we create, because that's how I get to laugh at things. I'm like, really, I created that? That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, I have. You know, so many questions in my mind bubbling up, and I want to be conscious of our time and your time. I know that you have a commitment, and I know that we want to get to the process. So how are we doing on time, and you know, would you jump in and just let me know when you want to start the process?
Sure, we can start it in the next few minutes. It'd be good. We'll be fine.
Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit before then about intuition and how intuition helps us to fulfill our dreams and desires. How important is it in your perception?
To me, it's as important as self-love in many ways. So I believe, and it's been my experience and the experience of a lot of people I've worked with, that when we learn to tune into our intuition, first of all, our lives become simpler. Now, let me reframe. When we tune in and follow our intuition, our lives become simpler.
good reframe. I love that. Yeah, that's an important distinction.
It really is, because for the most part, most of us let that ego, that louder voice, take over, and we ignore the intuitive hits we've gotten. And when we can actually tune in and tune that up and then actually take those steps, our lives really do become much simpler and things start to flow for us. So I'll use, if you want, I can share a quick story of what happened to me that was really guided and insane.
Oh, yeah, I love these stories.
Okay, so I lost all of my money in the early part of 2005. I called my broker to put money in to pay my in my checking account to pay my mortgage payment, and he's like, what money? So, you know, I did what any normal person would do. I freaked out. And then probably a week or so into it, I said, okay, just get quiet, figure out what you're going to do, see what's going to happen, and listen for any guidance. So Spirit told me to list my house for sale by owner. So I listed it for $125,000. No, I'm sorry, $225,000. And the realtor who had sold it to me 4 years earlier called me up and said, if you lost your mind, I wouldn't even take that listing for more than $208,000. And I said, well, I guess that's why I didn't call you. Have a good day. And it took just over 10 months to sell the house. And during that period, so I don't want to make this story too long, but during that period, I was guided to keep, to eventually get a realtor involved, to increase the price three different times. My last asking price, I had raised it to $277,000. And in between, money was coming in from all kinds of interesting places that I didn't even realize existed. And so all the bills kept getting paid except for a few of the credit cards that I just were a bit overwhelming. But the mortgage and that got paid. Anyway, the final price was $277,000 and within 2 weeks of listing it at $277,000, I sold it for $265,000 cash. Left there with a job that made over $40,000 in 6 weeks, with another job sitting there waiting for me when that was done. And, by the way, I was also guided to go to Australia in the middle of all that chaos and spent 2.5 weeks in Australia. And anybody that was watching what was going on that knew I didn't know where the next mortgage payment was coming from, my utilities got cut off a couple times, et cetera, they thought I was crazy. And I was what next, Spirit? And I was guided, here's the next step, here's the next step. I was reminded I had a vacant piece of property in Michigan. I thought it was worth maybe $10,000 to $15,000, max $20,000. I ended up selling that for $78,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just on and on like that, just all these interesting things I was guided to. And I like to say, you really, the most insane thing you're guided to do is probably the one you really want to follow. The one that seems crazy. That's intuition for me. The crazier,
I like that.
The more likely it is intuition versus ego.
That's great, yeah. I love that, because ego loves to operate on status quo and control.
Mm-hmm.
So if it seems illogical and it can't fit into a box in any way and crazy, that's how you can probably understand it's not intuition. That is intuition. Okay, let's jump into the processes here. Now, we've provided some images so that our listeners can experience these crystal graphs. Would you mind explaining how people can use them and go ahead and guide us through the process of releasing fear and opening to receive? I know we're combining a couple different processes together here, so that's wonderful. Two for the price of one, so to speak.
Right. So you have actually three images, three crystographs. The first one would be the chakra opening and balancing, and that gets the energy flowing. Then I would recommend people pick a fear that they would like to release. And then when we're done with that, we'll go right into opening to receive. And opening to receive is really all about allowing ourselves to allow things to come to us instead of having to try to make things happen and so on, just being open to that flow. And the way these work, it's really quite simple. if you can print them at some point, you can actually use them by holding them in against the skin of your non-dominant hand. They do need to be printed in full color. The energy is actually, the color is part of the energetics of the images. And otherwise, if you don't have them printed, for some people, they like to visualize them, and I even get reports, and it's happened to me a few times as well, they'll turn 3D inside of the body and start to spin and all kinds of fun things. So if you're good at visualizing and prefer to use that method, just gaze at it for a minute and visualize. Or if you want to, you can just hold the palm of your non-dominant hand close to your monitor above the image, and that will absorb it in. So those are a few different
methods. Non-dominant hand?
The non-dominant hand, the skin of your non-dominant hand, yes.
And why non-dominant hand, just out of curiosity?
Well, I had that question when Spirit told me that. So it's a good question. At least I think it is. the reason is because we use our non-dominant hand less, so it's going to be more sensitive to energy than our dominant hand.
Makes sense.
For those people that have, the other question I get a lot of times is, well, I don't have a specific non-dominant hand, then use your intuition as to which one you think is going to be most sensitive.
Okay.
Makes sense. And then, just so people know as well, you can use these by wearing them against your skin somewhere on your body. They do work that way as well. And I also put them on my water bottle and let them charge the water as well. It takes about 15 minutes to charge the water with one of the crystagraphs.
That's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah. So it just, everybody's different as to how they want. And my students have been teachers on that, because Spirit just said non-dominant hand, and then people started saying, well, could I do it this way and that way? So many of my clients and students have taught me different ways to use it that have made them more effective, so for them.
Mm-hmm.
So use your intuition is what I'm telling you.
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay, so for this exercise, I am going to suggest that you make sure you have quiet time, that you're not going to be distracted, but also that you are not driving or doing something that needs your attention, because I'm going to tell you to close your eyes. So I just find that sometimes as I guide you through, you can keep your hand near them and then guide you through how they're affecting your body in a little process that helps. So as I mentioned earlier, the chakra opening and balancing one takes about 20 seconds, but I'm going to guide you through what it's doing in the body, just very briefly. I'm going to kind of guide you through what it's doing through the body as it's working. So if you just hold your non-dominant hand close to the monitor, or pick another one of the methods mentioned, close your eyes and take a deep breath in.
Before, let me interrupt for 1 second. I just want to remind people that so those images are right there on the page, and in order of sequence, the top, the three symbols are listed in order, the top being the chakra opening and balancing, the one below that, the releasing fear, and the one below that, the opening to receive, okay? Just wanted to remind people that. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, now... Take a moment, close your eyes, put your hand in front of the chakra opening and balancing image. Again, it's the palm of your non-dominant hand. Take a deep breath in. And let it out with a sigh. And then see a ball of golden light way above the top of your head starting to go in circles, coming closer to the top of your head, and gradually see it start to unravel with threads of golden light starting to enter into the top of your head. See that those strands of golden light coming through your head, down your face, past your eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and then down into your throat. Then see those strands of golden light going out your arms, past your shoulders, down your arms, all the way down your arms to the tips of your fingers, and then see it also continuing down your torso. So the golden light is continuing down your torso, and every one of those little strands is basically charging every cell in your body with beautiful golden light. And then see that golden light go past your abdomen, past your hips, and then down your legs, past your thighs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, and then out through the bottoms of your feet. Then breathing in a beautiful ball of red light, see it sitting a few inches outside of the front of your body at the level of where the base of your spine is, and draw that ball of beautiful red light into your body at the base of your spine. And then see that ball begin to expand and energize that area of your body. With the next breath in, breathe in a ball of beautiful orange light just below the belly button in the sacral area. And again, see it start to expand until it's full, and now it's reaching and touching the red light below. As you take your next breath in, breathe in a ball of beautiful yellow light into the solar plexus area, which is at the base of your sternum or breastbone. Again, breathing that beautiful yellow light in, making it bigger and bigger and expanding it until it is now reaching down to where the orange light is, and the three are working together. With your next breath in, breathe in a ball of beautiful green light into the center of your chest to open up your heart. And allow that beautiful green light to expand bigger and bigger till it is now working with the yellow light below, and they're all continuing to work together. As you breathe in a ball of beautiful indigo blue light right in the soft spot at the top of your breastbone where your throat is. See that beautiful blue, indigo blue light expanding until it's working with the energy centers and colors below. And as you take a deep breath in, breathe in a beautiful ball of violet light into the center of your forehead where your third eye is. And expanding that again until it fills your whole head and reaches down to your throat. And bring in a ball of beautiful white light into the crown of your head and feel yourself connecting with the golden light as well as the white light, and then see it connecting to the violet light below. Now take a moment and just sit with that and breathe it in for a moment, and then move your hand to the releasing fear symbol. And now what I want you to do is think of a fear that you're ready to let go of. And as you think of it, I want you to place it in the center of the symbol of the crystallograph, in the middle of the heart. Take a deep breath in and begin to see the fear starting to shrink, because it won't survive in love energy. And then see it escaping out through the squiggly lines in the upper left quadrant of the heart. Taking another deep breath in, I want you to see a beautiful ball, like a big pink balloon, sitting just at the top of where those squiggly lines are. So as the fear attempts to escape, see it end up going into that beautiful ball or that beautiful pink balloon. Take another deep breath and let it continue to go until all of the fear has moved into the pink balloon. And then I want you to say, thank you for the gift you've provided. I am now ready to move forward in my own power. And as you do, see the balloon start to float away. And continue to be in gratitude that the fear has served its purpose and you are now totally moving into your power as it floats away and you become stronger, more heart-centered, more trusting, as the fear just floats away further and further until you can barely see it and suddenly the balloon pops. And the fear just floats away as little dust particles. And you have released that fear totally and completely. You are now totally and completely in your power. Now I want you to actually see yourself doing whatever it was you feared. If your fear was a fear of death, see yourself dying, but instantly being caught in God's arms and being put back on earth and being told, you are safe, you are loved, and this is not your time. All is well. See that doing whatever it is you fear, you are always safe, and that it was only false evidence appearing real to you. And see yourself totally, courageously moving forward in your power. And then take another deep breath in. And let's move our hand to the allowing oneself to receive image. And what I want you to do is just see yourself sitting with this image in the center of your heart, and then opening your heart as though you're expanding your heart area bigger and bigger and bigger. So you are opening yourself up to receive all of the good of the universe. Now, you may be opening to receive a particular thing. I would say it's better to just be open to receiving all the good of the universe and not be so specific that you block what might even be better than what you envision. The universe knows more than we do, in other words. So I want you to just allow yourself to be open and send love out into the universe and then begin to see like magnets, like these magnets that are drawing all the good into your life. See yourself totally and completely healthy and vibrant. See yourself having all the abundance you want in your life and more, much more than you can even imagine. See yourself having beautiful relationships, the best relationships you could ever imagine and way beyond, not just in your personal life, but in your business life, and everywhere you go in the world, you have wonderful, loving people. And just expand yourself and that image to be greater than you can even imagine by allowing the universe to keep bringing you more and more wonderful, glorious things that are big surprises. See yourself surprised that you've just received something really wonderful that you had no idea the universe would give you. Put away all your limitations and know the universe is totally, infinitely abundant and that you are this magnet to all of that abundance. Now take another deep breath in, and I'm going to bring you back slowly. Just go ahead and maybe take a stretch. And then you might want to, like, blink your eyes a little bit, wiggle your toes and your fingers. And then come on back slowly. And hopefully I didn't put everybody to sleep.
No, I felt enlivened, actually.
Sometimes it's hard to bring people back because it's so juicy to be in that spot. It's like, do I really want you to have to come back now?
That was my feeling. Exactly. Yeah, that felt great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Each crystal graph was a different experience. Nice. Really nice.
Yeah. I did that on the opening to receive on a telecall a while back, and one of the ladies on the call actually won a $500 raffle, like, within 24 hours, and she was like, oh, my God.
I was just about to ask you if you had some examples and case studies or stories about how the crystal grafts have helped others with releasing fear or receiving.
Sure. Another one on the receiving one that was a lot of fun was this woman was actually had cancer, and she was struggling quite a bit. Yet she was an energy healer, and she was doing a variety of things, and she was going into this chiropractor's office regularly. And we did the exercise, and the next time she went into the chiropractor's office, they're like, you know, you're an energy healer, and we could really use an energy healer in our office. And we have that spare room in the corner there, and we'll give it to you. You can just work right there, and we'll refer people to you.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she'd been going there for a while. They'd never offered her anything like that, and suddenly there she was. She's like, oh, my gosh.
You know, it doesn't matter how many stories I hear and experiences I have of shifting the inside and watching the outside reflect that shift, I still am amazed and awestruck and beautified. Just like, oh, I just love the universe. You know, it's just amazing to me.
It is. And, you know, I think that's one of the keys, is to be open to how amazing it really is. And I think too often we get caught up in our daily mundane part of our life and forget to just be open to how glorious things really, really are. You know, when you introduced me, you mentioned that I had cancer. And it really did I got rid of it very, very quickly. But I went into major fear, and that was one of the things I did right away was, okay, I need to release the fear from this and just start to recognize that the fear is going to just create more of it. And, you know, that's really the biggest key to me, is when we start talking about, you know, this whole self-love even and all of these different aspects, fear can be a huge part of the challenge. In fact, even when, for a lot of people, let's talk about wealth and abundance for a moment. A lot of people, especially in the healer realm, tend to think, oh, you know, we're not supposed to charge for it, and all of these different things. I hear that all the time. And I also hear a lot of people say, well, wanting a lot of money is greedy. Well, to me, greed is just another fear, because if we don't claim that abundance, then we let the universe get out of balance, really. But greed is another fear that a lot of us have, that we'll be bad if we're greedy, or, you know, the different things we all have about, you know, wealth being the root of all evil and all that silly stuff. But it all comes down to fears that we have. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Certainly. It certainly does make sense.
In fact, I think every single one of our negative emotions, if we really look deeply at them, like anger or, you know, abandonment or any of them, if we really look deep enough, it's really something we fear. So that's my take anyway.
Okay.
You know, if we look deep enough, there's probably a fear underlying the whole thing. And if we can let go of that fear, we are far more likely to heal things than we are if we're going to hang on to that underlying fear.
Well, here's to letting go of fears and whatever else. Here's
right.
Cheers to that.
Yes, and open to receive all the abundance the universe has for us, because it's way more than, it's going to give us way more than any of us can think of on our own.
Yeah, and in so many ways, and like you said, that we can't even, we're not even thinking of or have never thought of.
Right.
And
let's not put limitations on it.
That sounds good to me. That sounds great. So in service to the time commitment, why don't we step right into sharing with people about your free gift, first of all, and what you've got going on next, and you know, anything else you'd like to share about your offerings, programs, and work.
Well, thank you, Sheldon. So the free gift is called Dramatically Improve Your Health with This 1 Minute Trick, and it's actually about an hour-long training video, so you have to go through that to learn the trick. And there's some audio as well. And you do get some crystagraphs that are free with that, along with a crystagraph-infused Healthy You subliminal recording that you can play in the background as well. So that, you have a link on your site, I believe, on the page for them to click over to that, or
we
you
do.
Can go to healingwithsymbols.com as well to get to that. And then my main website, though, is called empoweredspirit.com. That's E-M-P-O-W-E-R-E-D, spirit.com. And over there you'll find other free gifts as well as some of my main programs. I have programs for taking your healing very deeply to get to all the issues we've talked about, very in deep work to get through the processes to literally help yourself heal a variety of issues. I've had lots and lots of people have dramatic shifts all the way from, I've had people get rid of sciatica instantly and colds and coughs, and I've had people get rid of cancer and polyps and all kinds of things. So you'll find that course on that site, as well as a prosperity course, and you'll find a variety of e-books and audio programs, subliminals, and so on. So that's about it. It's over on empoweredspirit.com.
Great. And you can access also that right there on the page through the free gift button. Well, yeah, great. Do you have any final words, any parting words you'd like to share with our audience before we wrap up today's session?
Thank you for asking, Sheldon. So I would like to leave everybody with the thought that you are a beautiful creature of God, and it's time to claim your self-worth and self-esteem and self-love. So I'm going to ask each and every one of you to take a moment before you get on with your day after this call is done and decide what one thing you can commit to doing every day to take care of yourself and make that commitment, even if it's just a minute or 2 minute thing you do every day, just to say you're worth it, you're loved, and that you love yourself.
Oh, nice. That's great. Okay.
Yeah, it all starts by doing one little thing, right?
Absolutely. Without the doing part, not a lot of results occur. So the old adage of, 90% of success is in the execution.
Yes.
You got to do the ritual, take the action, and start small. Start small,
yes.
And let it build up. Well, Crystalia, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your work, your process, your sharing, the wisdom teachings you bring forward and through you, and all of your expertise and sharing here today.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Sheldon, to be here. I really, really have enjoyed this time together, and I hope that the listeners have gotten some great value from what you and I have both shared.
Me too. I hope you guys have. Let us know. Let us know if you haven't. Let us know your experience with let Crystallia know, or myself, the experience you're having with the crystal graphs, if you go back and do this process again, or when you had, and you can send them to me and I'll forward them on to her, or you can go directly to her. We'd certainly love to know.
Yeah.
And we will catch you. Thank you for being here, and thanks for being part of this. We're all in this together, so I really appreciate your community involvement in this collective awakening process. Thank you. Crystallia, we will see you around and look forward to speaking again. And to everyone, until the next session.